So, if you have your Bibles, I want to ask that you turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, verses 14 through 25, more important than life. I want to ask you, can you think of anything in the world more important than life? As we pick up in our text this morning in Daniel chapter 3, I want to kind of give you some background where we have concluded last week's message. The Hebrews, Jerusalem, had been taken captive. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had come with his army. The forces had taken all of the Hebrew children, the king's palace, all of those who had been in charge, and now they're taken back to Babylon. You remember last week as we began to talk about the text that Daniel and his three friends had been taken captive as well, and they had been taken to the king's palace. While they were there at the king's palace, they had been given the food, the delicacies off of the king's tables. From that point on, they had 3 years worth of training. And then we get to the point in last week's text where Daniel decided that he was not going to defile himself with the portions of the king's foods. And so he stood up and he said, I want to ask that you not make me eat these foods, but that you allow me to eat God's foods that hadn't been given to worship false idols, only had been given in honor of the God of all creation. So the chief of the king's eunuchs in Babylon didn't want that to happen, but God had given him favor. God had given Daniel favor in the sight of the eunuch, the chief eunuch, and he allowed that to take place. You remember the story, for 2 weeks, and after that 2 weeks he had seeing that Daniel and his three friends were stronger, they looked better, they were more prepared, they had more wisdom than any other of those who were also learning the Chaldean language and the Babylonian customs. And then it gets to a point where in the text, if you'll read chapter 2, in the first part of chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar begins to have a dream. And he's having this dream, and he doesn't understand it. He can't interpret it. He doesn't know what's going on in this dream. He asks all of the wise men of his kingdom, the sorcerers, and all of those who have any kind of wisdom at all, to come before his throne and to tell him what his dream is about. Now, he doesn't divulge the information for them to know what he dreamed. He said, if you're really one who can interpret the dreams, then you'll be able to tell me what's going on without me having to tell you anything. And they said, but that's more difficult than you can imagine. Nobody can interpret dreams without you first telling them what the dream is about. And so someone told them that there was one in the kingdom who was a Hebrew, that he could interpret dreams, and it was Daniel. And they go and they get Daniel, and Daniel says, I can't interpret their dreams, but I serve a God who can. So he went back and he prayed and he asked God to reveal to him what Nebuchadnezzar's dream was about, and he went back and he told him what his dream was about. Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to have a long reign. There's going to be none greater than you ever on the face of the earth. You're going to be the greatest ever. He began to interpret the dream, the gold, the top of this statue, it was gold, and then it begins to change. The elements begin to change all the way down to clay feet. Well, Nebuchadnezzar represented the gold, and then all the way down to the clay feet, and it just was an illustration that Nebuchadnezzar was going to reign, he was going to rule, and he was going to be the greatest king to ever rule from that standpoint. Well, Nebuchadnezzar liked that. He honored Daniel. He honored his three friends, set him up in the kingdom so that they were in charge of a lot of things that were going on. And then we get to our text this morning, because Nebuchadnezzar was so full of himself after he had heard the interpretation of the dream that he even built an image made of gold, so that when the flutes and the harps and the lyres and all of the stringed instruments and all of the musical instruments were played, that people would bow down and worship the image, except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they refused. They weren't going to bow down to a God they didn't know. They weren't going to bow down to a statue of a dead creation that was made with the hands of man. And they refused to do that. And word got back to Nebuchadnezzar, and he was a little narcissistic. He was a little bit self-centered. And so he goes to them, and you're going to see through the text this morning, he challenges them. But they stand their ground. They refuse to give in. And they honor God with their lives. They honor God with that situation. And as we read in the text, what is more important than life? I want to share with you this morning. That's obedience to the one true God. What's more important than life is obedience to the one true God. And so with that, I want to ask that you would honor God this morning, standing at the reading of His Word. And that's Daniel chapter 3, verses 14 and following. We'll not read all of the verses right now. We'll only read a few. But beginning in verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I've set up?" Now, if you were ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you should be cast immediately in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? I want to ask that we stop right there and you bow with me and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, today in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before your throne of grace and we ask that you would begin to speak to our hearts concerning your word even now. Lord, that we would see the example of these three Hebrew boys, that we would learn from their position, that we would experience as best we can how they were able to stand firm as you convicted them of the importance of being obedient, even to the point of death. And Father, how in the world that we live in today, the most important thing for us to do is to honor you above all gods, that we honor you above all false gods. Lord, you are the only God. There is no other. And so today, Lord, even now, we begin to humble our hearts, acknowledging you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that there is no name above the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we ask now in the name of Jesus that you begin to speak to our hearts, that all outside distractions be removed, that we be able to focus on you and your word today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've got our background information this morning, and we began to realize already just from the background information that there is something that is worth more than life. Amen or oh me? When it comes to making that personal, I think we struggle just a little bit, don't we? And when I'm faced with danger, when I'm faced with something that could potentially harm me bodily, I back up. I cower. Don't you? I think that's what we do. It's our flight instinct. If we know that there's something or someone going to harm us, then we turn it and we run. We try and get away from that situation as quickly as we can. And we see through the situation this morning that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not turn and run, but they stood and they fought. As a matter of fact, what you begin to understand through the text this morning is they didn't fight because they didn't have to fight. God fought for them on their behalf. And there are four things that I want to share with you this morning concerning the Word of God. And the first thing that I submit to you is this. We shouldn't expect the world to understand our refusal to conform to their ways. You're going to have to write all of that down. I was in Nashville Thursday and wasn't able to get the outline to Miss Jerry. But number one is this. We should not expect the world to understand our refusal to conform to their ways. Now I want you to follow along with me for just a minute, because what you need to understand is that when you're different from the rest of the world wants to do everything they can to try and get you to change your mind. Right? The world that you and I live in, they see us and we're just a small group of people that has the potential to cause major issues in the world that we live in. But really what we do the best is we sit comfortably in our pews and not make any ruckus at all. We don't stand on the Word of God to the point where we're able to or desire to go up and shout from the rooftops that Jesus is Lord, because we really don't want to offend anybody. That's how most live. That's the way the church as a whole on the face of the earth, that's the way they are for the most part. Now, as we see that you enter in out into the world today, how many times have you tried to take a stand and then your friends or those out in the community try and get you to change your mind? No, it's not going to hurt anything. Come on and be a part of what's going on. Have you ever heard that before? Maybe you've been the one that has said that before. No, come on. Everybody else is going. Everybody else is going to be here at that party. Come on, and you're not going to get in trouble. Your parents will never find out. Nobody's ever going to tell anyone. And so you cave in. But as we see through the Word of God this morning, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not cave. And I want to tell you, we've got to see these three little Hebrew boys who had been living in a land long enough to realize that the customs were really about bringing homage and honor to who the king was, the earthly king. And they didn't see it quite that way. They really wanted to stay true to their God. And what I want to tell you is, when you and I live in the world that we live in today, you're always going to be pulled. And many times, we're going to be pulled to the point where it feels like our arms are just about to be ripped out of socket. And we don't know how to stand. We don't know what decisions to make, because all we know is, come here, boys, both of y'all, come here. Don't pull hard, but pull. We don't know how. Pull, yeah, see, that hurts. And then this is the tug of war that's going on in our life. And, well, I'm probably stronger than both of these boys. And so, but we can't deal with it. We feel like our shoulders are about to pull out of socket, and it's a tug and war. There's God on this side, and He's pulling, and the Spirit is convicting, and we feel Him, and we desire to honor Him. But then the temptation and the pull and the desire to still please our friends and hang out with them, and so that no one looks at us and makes fun of us. Well, that's sometimes a greater pull in our lives. And what we do then is then we just drop our arms to the side and we go the way everyone else is going. And then we can fit in with the culture. Then we're going along with what they say is good and okay. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that we shouldn't expect the world to understand our refusal to conform to their ways. Friends, you and I have got to stand on the Word of God, and we've got to be obedient to Him above all else. And this is what the Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That's what you and I have to understand God's greatest desire for us is. We have got to live in this world. Amen? We've got to. We've got to be a part of it. And here's the thing. We cannot, we shall not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Friends, I want to tell you, God has done something in your life by giving you His Spirit through the blood of Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, you've got the greatest power in the universe on your side. So when the world pulls you to pieces, you've got to continue to stand strong on the foundation of Jesus Christ in your life. Are we getting through this morning? The world, they're not going to understand. Why wouldn't you just go on and go with the flow? Why wouldn't you do that? Why would you take the chance on being ridiculed and made fun of all of your life? Why would you take that chance? And we stand confidently saying, because we serve a risen Lord whose name is Jesus. We shouldn't expect them to understand. They didn't understand right here. Listen to what the text says. After all of that, they wouldn't bow down and they wouldn't worship. Nebuchadnezzar had gotten the word. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I've set up? Is it true?" And then he gives them an opportunity. This is how the real world operates. You can stand strong for a moment on your own. And at the moment where you're standing, you feel like you're doing a great job, the tempter is going to come again. Listen to what the word says right here in verse 15. He says, "Now if you are ready at this time," if you're ready at the time, "you hear all the musical instruments, and you will bow down and worship the image which I've made." Good. He says, "I'm going to give you another opportunity." This is the world speaking. "I'm going to give you another opportunity. Come on. Come on. Let's go hang out at the bar for a little while. Come on. Come on. No one will ever know that you had an affair. Come on. Nobody is ever going to find out that you were out partying with this group of people. Come on. Nobody's ever going to know if you cheat in this situation. No one is ever going to find out. The tempter is going to tempt you and tempt you and tempt you until you feel like your only choice is to give in." He said, "Good. If you'll worship the image." Good. That's what I want. Good. But then he goes on and he counter-responds, "But if you don't." You ever had those ultimatums in your life before? "Come on, hang out with us. Come on, let's go do this. But if you don't, dude, you're not a part of the group anymore. Dude, you can't be a part of the team anymore. Dude, I don't know how they talk anymore. I don't. Dude. I don't know. I know it was dude at youth camp, wasn't it? Dude. So, that was a good thing, by the way. But the world is going to keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on until you finally cave in and go with the flow. And I want to tell you, it's the easiest thing for you to do. But when you stand, listen, the world doesn't understand why. And so you've got to understand that you and I can't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Being conformed to the pattern of this world, the image literally is, Paul was a tent maker. You know that. And to be conformed to the pattern of that world, literally the imagery is that of someone placing a pattern right over your life and them trimming out all the excess to make you exactly what they desire you to be. And God's word said that you are not to be conformed to the pattern of this world. Don't let them take this tapestry of the ways of the world and throw them over you and cut that pattern out so that you mimic them. And then he goes on and he says this. He says, "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind." What does that mean? It means that you have got to love God so much that your greatest desire is that in those moments of temptation when you're pulled, you've got to have the desire to say, "Lord, right now in this moment, I need you to transform me into something that I'm not in and of myself. I need you to make me Hercules at this point. I need you to make me Samson. Give me his strength, because on my own power and on my own will, I can't stand under the pressure." So you've got to not be transformed to the pattern of this world, but you've got to ask God that he would transform you by the renewing of your mind. This is where the greatest battle goes on, isn't it? It's right here between your shoulders. So you've got to ask God on a daily basis, "Lord, today, right now, this moment, I need you to transform me. Lord, I need you to renew my mind." And then as you study, as you read then God is going to give you something. He's going to speak to your heart. He's going to do a work in your life. That's what you have to do as a child of God. You've got to be transformed every single day. It's not an easy task, is it, to be changed every single day? Because what we want is we're born into sin. We know that's our nature. And then we enter out into the world and we're around everybody else and we simply just want things to be good. And so we just go. We just go with it instead of asking God to transform us. So what you've got to do is you've got to decide at this point. They're not going to understand. The world isn't, but you've got to ask God to transform you by the renewing of your mind. Number two, the second thing is this, verses 16 through 18. Faith recognizes God's ability to do what man considers impossible. Faith recognizes God's ability. Whose ability is it? It's not yours. That's where we make the mistake. Brad, it's not my ability. It's not your ability. Students, it's not your ability, but it's God's ability through you. And faith recognizes God's ability to do what man considers impossible. Listen to what the text says, verse 16 and following. The text says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hands, O king. And so faith recognizes God's ability. This is what was going on in their mind. You have to kind of put yourself in this situation where they are. Get out of the box that you're in, okay? Get out of the box and picture what's going on in the lives of the Hebrew boys right here. They decided that they were not going to bow down to societal pressures. They were not going to give in to the temptations of the culture and of the world. They were not going to worship a false, foreign, dead God. They were going to stay true to their belief that there is only one God who is the creator of heaven and earth. And they were willing to die on that belief. And so faith recognizes God's ability. It's not always our ability. And so picture the most powerful man in the world during this time confronting, listen to this, the most powerful king in the world during that time was confronting the servants of the creator of the universe. Now you answer me, who wins that? Amen? Amen? Who wins? God wins. And don't ever forget it. And so these young men, they believed that God was able to deliver them from death and that he would deliver them from the king's hands. This is what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says. You know the scripture verse, but and without faith it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder. And he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Isn't that good? Isn't that, what does that tell you about faith? It's important. It's needed. Faith gives you strength. Faith helps you tackle the impossible. Faith allows you to climb mountains that you could never scale with your own abilities. Faith in a risen Lord, faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, faith, that's where your strength comes from. It doesn't come from yourself. It comes from a God who created you and who lives in you through his power, the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives you the abilities to climb those mountains. He gives you the abilities even when the world is using you as a tug of war rope. God gives you the strength. Faith recognizes God's ability to do what man considers impossible. Is it possible for man to walk on water? No. Is it impossible for God to walk on water? No. So if it's not impossible for man to walk on water, how's he going to do it? Because I've tried. Every time I've tried to walk on water, I sunk right to the bottom. Well, God can do it though, right? And there's this great illustration in the Bible where man walked on water because Jesus gave him the strength to walk on water as long as his eyes were firmly fixed on him. So man cannot walk on water outside the will and the power of God. But when God wills it, man can do it. And that was God's will. And so now we're getting to a situation where some men are going to be put right slap dab in the middle of a fiery furnace. And let me ask you a question. In the flesh, think with me in terms of what man thinks. In the flesh, can a man be thrown into a fiery furnace and survive? No. But if God wills it, can he? And so faith recognizes God's ability to do what man considers impossible. But listen to this. Here's the last part of the, about this, and I need you to get this. But you're willing to accept God's choice if he chooses not to. See, God's ways are so much bigger than yours. God has a plan that's so much greater than your plan. God's desire is that all people would come to faith knowing Jesus Christ is Lord. That's God's desire, isn't it? And my purpose and your purpose is that you and I would live our lives in such a way that God would use us to bring honor and glory to him. And even if it costs us our life, you and I are to bring honor and glory to God, because the greatest outcome is that someone else would see your situation and your faith to stand firm and strong and come to know Jesus personally through you. And that was the desire here. They wanted to honor God. They wanted to glorify God. They desired that God and God alone be lifted up, not that man be lifted up. So the third thing that I submit to you this morning is faith can sometimes put you in life-threatening situations. And that's really what we're talking about right here. They had decided they were going to honor God. They were going to live for his glory. And if it cost them their life, they were going to be obedient to the point of death. You know, Jesus was that obedient to the point of death. Matter of fact, it says he was obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. That was the worst form of torture. That was the worst form of punishment in those days. And Jesus was willing to go to the cross on your behalf. Praise God, he was willing to go to the cross on my behalf. And I want to tell you, I'm not worth him going to the cross for. But if it would have been only me, he still would have done it. If it would have been only you, he still would have done it. That's about sacrificial giving. Sometimes faith can put us in life-threatening situations. The furnace was 7 times hotter than it normally was because of the fury, because of the anger of Nebuchadnezzar. As a matter of fact, the furnace was already going, and it was easy. If someone disobeyed and they were going to the furnace, they'd literally just go over there and they would push them in. But he said, I want you to stoke it 7 times hotter than usual. And so let's read the text. I want you to get this. Verse 19, there it is. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and he commanded that the heat of the furnace be made 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor. These were the top-notch soldiers in the army, in Nebuchadnezzar's army. He said he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so the picture is, you understand, there's these big old huge guys that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they tied them up, they bound them so they wouldn't escape. Doesn't say how many, but it says, then these men were bound in their coats. Listen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't just thrown in there, but they had on very flammable clothing. And this picture is astounding, and it's amazing. And these men were bound in coats, their trousers, their turbans, their other garments, and they were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flames of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men were willing to serve a man who was worldly, and it cost them their life. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were willing to serve a God despite it costing their life. And they were going to be obedient to that. And there are many, many, many times through the Scripture where you know you see individuals who decide that they're going to be obedient to God even if it costs them their life. Whatever the case, they're going to be obedient. I want to share with you a quick Hebrew chapter 33, chapter 11, verses 33 through 38. Now listen to this. We're going to try and do this quickly. It says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions," listen to it, "who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two." Listen to this. "They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheep's clothing, goats, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the desert, mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground." There's so many that had gone, and their life was right there on the brink of being destroyed. And time after time, God came through. And sometimes people lost their lives because of their faith. And I want to tell you, you and I live in a society today that we might well lose our faith because of who we believe Jesus Christ is in our lives. And can I tell you today that if that's what God's desire is for you, then you've got to know He's got a purpose greater than anything you can understand. And even in the midst of that, you've got to go along with it. Because God's greatest purpose is to bring honor and glory to you. Then Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, this is what Jesus says. "Then you'll be handed," this is talking about in the last days. And friends, I believe we're living there right now. Matthew 24, verse 9, "Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you'll be hated by all nations because of me." Getting close, aren't we? Getting close. Do you know that Christians are hated now more than any other people on the face of the earth, it seems? And we serve a risen Lord. We serve a God who died for our sins. We serve a God who died for our sins, who was buried in a borrowed tomb. It wasn't even His tomb. He was borrowed. And then He was raised from the dead on the third day. And right now, this moment, as you and I gather together to worship, Jesus the Christ is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Right now. So Jesus is right here. That means that He's at a place of strength, that He's at a place of power. That's where Jesus Christ is. And to say all of that, to say this, that He's there on your behalf today. And faith can sometimes put us in life-threatening situations. Now, we've not gotten right there completely yet, but let me share with you the very last point that I want to submit to you this morning, because it's important, and I need you to get this. Because those who walk by faith experience the Lord's comforting presence even in the most trying times. Did you hear that? Those who walk by faith. Are you one who's going to walk by faith? Amen, preacher. You going to walk by faith? Amen, preacher. Come on. Are you going to walk by faith, church? Amen. Thank you. Those who walk by faith experience the Lord's comforting presence, even in most trials. troubling times. It's about knowing who God is. And my question is this, and this is kind of a rhetorical question, statement, kind of combo thing. If you know who God is in your life, then you're willing to accept whatever God throws your way because you know that in your life, God is going to be honored and glorified. So are you going to walk by faith? Yes. Even if it costs you your life, amen. Even at the point of you being ridiculed and persecuted in the society and the world that you and I live in. And the answer has got to be yes. And so at this point, the king's anger, it was turned into amazement. Listen to what the text says. Let me... Give me a second. Verse 22 and following. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flames of the fire killed those men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste. Quickly he rose. Quickly. He rose and he spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king, three." Three. Three men were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. And then verse 25 says, "Look, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Wow. Right on time. Amen. Right on time. God was right on time. The one thing we see, the theme that is consistent over and over and over about God is that He's right on time. Right on time. He doesn't always show up when you expect Him to, but He never shows up late. He always shows up on time. These men were thrown into a furnace that was seven times hotter than usual. How hot do you think that was? I would say probably 600 or 700 degrees was probably the norm, and it was seven times hotter than that. Brad, you're good with math. What's 7 times 7? 49. That's hot. It's just seven times hotter than usual. And these men of valor, Nebuchadnezzar's men, they were taken, and the fire was so hot that as they got down there to make sure these men were thrown in, the fire took them immediately. They didn't have a chance. They were serving the wrong king. Amen. And then the ones who worship the one true God, they got down there. I don't know if you can try and picture this in your mind, but go with me. I'm sure it was a forceful fall. And they entered in probably on their knees, on their hands in the middle. And as they got down there, their hands were unbound. Their feet, if they were shackled, I don't know all of how they were tied up, but they were unbound. And then the flames are just probably at this point, they're lapping up over the top of this hole they're in. And the king is looking down the best he can. The heat is so excruciating that he really doesn't even want to see. And then all of a sudden he's like, "What? Are you kidding me? Were there not three men bound and thrown in the midst of the fire? Yet there are four that are walking around unbound and unharmed." And so God is at work, right, doing right what He does. And so those who walk by faith experience the Lord's comforting presence even in the most trying times. And here's something that you need to know. Listen to me. In closing, and we're about to wrap this up. But God is a rewarder of your faith. Amen. Even when it's hard, even when you don't want to, God rewards your faith. So what do? You continue to be faithful. What do when life's burdens get you down? Well, you take those burdens and you place them right at the feet of God, who says to bring them all to Him, Bring them all because he cares for you. And as burdensome as they are, isn't it such a great relief to be able to take those burdens and lay them at the feet of Jesus? See, he's able to carry those burdens. God rewards our faith. And there's an example. We see that just quickly as we walk through, God rewarded Moses' faith as he went into Egypt. He was able to take 2 to 3 million people out of Egypt, cross the Red Sea, out in the desert. Do you know that if there were somewhere between 2 and 3 million people, for all of them to be able to have crossed the Red Sea in one night, there would have had to have been 5,000 abreast, side by side, for them just, and that's in one night for them to make it through. 5,000 shoulder to shoulder they would have had to be in order for all of them to have made it through in one night. But God saw that they made it through, right? God did that. And then what happened when those who followed, as they were pursuing, they entered into the waters? What happened? God collapsed the waters on them. And then we see that Noah, his faith was rewarded. He built a boat. He was being ridiculed. He was being made fun of. And as many times as we use these examples, they're never old because they always tell the same story. And that's your faithfulness to God is rewarded. And so he built a boat that he had never built before. He didn't know what he was doing, but God was directing that. And then they got on the boat. God shut the door. The rains began to fall. And the boat floated. And then David was rewarded by his faith as a 14 or 15 year old boy. He goes up when nobody else in Israel's army would stand up against Goliath, this young man. He said, I'll do it. And he walks up. And the king says, but you're just a boy. Can you imagine what the other soldiers, they were probably laughing and jeering at him. This boy, he's lost his mind. He's off his rocker. And the king said, well, if you boys won't go, let him. And he goes out there with one stone. He has 5 in his hand, but he doesn't need but one. And he lets it go and it hits him just in the right spot. And his faith was rewarded. And now we see these Hebrew boys, they're standing in the midst of a fiery furnace, and they decided that they were going to honor God with their life, and now their faith was rewarded. God rewards our faith. Paul's at the end of his life, 2 Timothy, and this is what the scripture says, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Paul says this, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. Are you going to be able to say that when you come to this portion of your life? All my life I've battled, I've struggled, but I've kept the faith. Are you going to be able to say that? Through thick, through thin, through ups and downs, mountains and valleys, you kept the faith. Paul said this, he says, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Finally, his rewards are at hand. Finally. There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. But not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So we live in a society today, I want to tell you, where you're going to be pulled, you're going to be stretched, and you're going to have the desire to give in. But the greatest challenge is for you to stand firm. The greatest challenge is for you to have faith. The greatest challenge is for you not to give in. The greatest challenge is for you to say, okay, Lord, here I am. Lord, I don't know why, and I don't know how, but I'm trusting you in this situation. And so, wherever you are, what is more important than life? What? The question, what's more important than life? God and obedience to Him. So I don't know where you are today. I don't know where your struggles are. I don't know where your head is. I don't know where your heart is. But I know one thing is truer today than it was yesterday. And that's today we're closer to meeting Jesus face to face than we were yesterday. And another thing I know for sure, and that's if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then He will see you through the burning, fiery furnace, even if it's 7 times hotter than normal. God's going to see you through. And so the challenge for you today is this. Right in the midst of the fiery furnace, are you going to be obedient? Are you going to take your stand? Are you going to bow only to the one true God? Today, where are you? And maybe you're here and you're thinking, I don't like that message. Never coming back and hearing that preacher again. Because I like my life just fine right where I am. No, thank you, you're thinking. Let me ask you this. If you leave here today and Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, is a little bit of fire worth going through here on this earth, or is the eternal fire that you'll never get out of what you choose? Because I'm going to tell you, you think hell's not a real place because you can't see it with your eyes. Let me tell you, it's more real than the flesh and blood that's on your bones today. And so the choice is yours. Maybe you're here, you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. Is today the day of salvation? Today the day where you invite King Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? Is today the day where you invite King Jesus to walk through you in the burning, fiery furnace? Is today that day? Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, Lord, today we struggle so many times in the culture we live in, the life we desire is so different from many times the life you desire for us. And Lord, your desire for us is so much greater than our desire for ourselves. I pray that all these who have gathered today will understand the importance, something that's even more important than life itself. And that's being obedient to you, to trusting you, to having faith in you, in a God who is alive and well, whose name is Jesus. Lord, your word tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. One day it's going to happen. Father, thank you for these who have gathered this morning who have chosen to already confess Jesus as Lord. And Father, I pray right now, if there are any who are here who have not, that today would be the day where they confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that you have raised Him from the dead, that they might be saved. Father, today is the day of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you to stand this morning. You stand. What's more important than life to you? What's more important? Will you be obedient? Will you be faithful? Will you be true to Jesus Christ today? You come.
I want